Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit within us. Thank you, Father, for that great work of redemption. Thank you, Father, for that perfect work of salvation. Thank you, Father, for the eternal life that we've received. We declare this morning and decree that as we go into the world, our eyes of understanding are enlightened to behold the riches that you've deposited in us by the work of salvation, by the giving of the Spirit. We ask and receive this morning that as we go into the world, there is accuracy, there is precision. The word of God is taught with accuracy and precision. Our hearts are receptive to receive God's word. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive God's word. And at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, so we would continue in the line in which we started a few months ago, investigating scriptures. In fact, after last teaching, I realized that just because we want to clear so many gray areas, we can title this series, this particular one, Investigating Scriptures Series 3A. Yeah, Series 3A. We have, we're trying to clear as much gray areas as possible under that, under baptism for a start, then maybe in our second and the second part of the third series. Yeah, we'll look at communion table and maybe third and fourth look at the feet washing and tithing and those things we call sacred cows, which we think we cannot explain from scriptures. Yeah, but I mean, it's a long journey, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. So we have time ahead of us, and we trust that by the strength of and grace of God, we would accomplish as much as we need to accomplish. Hallelujah. You know, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel, 28. Look at what it says in verse 18. Matthew 28:18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Yeah, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power. That word there, power, is authority. Is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Yeah, what is the authority in reference to? We must read in context. Yeah, that is not saying that even the power of the devil or the power of witches and wizards is for Jesus. No. Yeah, so we must read in context. So all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What is the power and authority for? What is the power that is authority for? Look at it, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word there, teach, is the word that means to make people disciples of all nations. Yeah, so he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we've seen that to be that Jesus wasn't saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations and putting everybody you meet inside water as a sign of whatever we call it. Yeah, so we explained that baptizing them, we have to do with indoctrination and believing. So it says in verse 20, now says teaching them. So there's a particular teaching that should come with the studentship or discipleship rather. Yeah, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Yeah, so we see that he says, go ye therefore and make people pupils, make people students, make people disciples of all nations. Yeah, indoctrinating them into the name of the Son. Yeah, indoctrinating them into the work of the Son. Hallelujah. You know. So, turn with me to 2 Timothy quickly. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, verse 2. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, so saints are to learn from men who have learned from men. Let me say it this way. A saint is to learn from a man who has learned from a man. Yeah, we learn from men. We learn from men. Yeah, the apostolic and doctrinal way of learning and growing in God's word is by listening to men who have listened to other men. Hallelujah. Yeah, so Jesus taught disciples and he expected them. So Jesus taught disciples, made them students, and he expected them to be disciples to have other disciples. Yeah, so let me say it better. Jesus had disciples. He was their discipler. Those disciples were his students. He discipled those students to become disciples so that they can have other disciples. Let me say it this way. Jesus was a teacher. Jesus is the teacher. Jesus was the teacher of the apostles. He taught the apostles, the disciples, as students. So that those students who he taught will become teachers to other students. Yeah, so Paul now tells Timothy, using the same clue, he says that the things you've heard of me, amongst many witnesses the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Yeah, you are to have a personal devotion. You are to have a personal devotion that should come from what? Obeying scriptures. Yeah, that should come. You see, a lot of times when people say, you know, people open scriptures and say, Holy Spirit, minister to me using this verse and so on and so forth and so on. If you read that text out of context, yeah, your Holy Spirit has led you astray. And trust me, the Holy Spirit doesn't lead you astray. So that is to say, a lot of things people say Holy Spirit showed them personally is actually not the Holy Spirit, but their emotions. Yeah, a lot of times emotions are usually amplified under the guise of spiritual songs and, you know, gospel music and, you know, Christian songs in quotes, you know, and just spiritualize one knowledge, you know. A lot of times you begin to infuse the things you've learned or the things you've known. Remember, we are all product of influences. Hallelujah. Yeah, we are all product of influences. So a lot of times what usually happens is that if you don't have a good teacher, yeah, you end up in the ditch and you claim the Holy Spirit taught you. Holy Spirit doesn't teach people nonsense. Yeah, the Holy Spirit doesn't teach people error. Yeah, so what is a saint to do? A saint, look at verse 15 of chapter 2. Look at what Paul now tells Timothy. Verse 15. Look at what Paul now tells Timothy. He says, study to show thyself as approved of God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Yeah, a workman. Remember, he has already told him. He said, the things you've heard of me amongst many witnesses, teach, commit the same. So it will mean that what Timothy is studying in verse 15 is in reference to the things he has heard from Paul. Hallelujah. You see that? Yeah. So Paul's teaching to Timothy will sound or will serve as a foundation for Timothy's study. Hallelujah. So you are to get a man whom you trust in the word to be your teacher, and in that it fuels your passion for study. You see very well, Paul did not say study first before the things I have taught you've heard of me. He says the things you've heard of me commit to faithful men who will teach. Then in this, you study. Hallelujah. So we are just here to explain God's word as usual. You know, and we're dealing with baptism, the subject of baptism. You know, and we've established, you know, it would be great if this is your first time joining to have your hands, to lay your hands on the previous teachings. We've laid so many foundations already, you know, and things like that. And the teaching is already available, you know. So we've looked at what water, what washing was used for in the Old Testament books. And we looked at some scriptures and we've established also that the word baptized or baptism doesn't always have to do with water. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so today we're going to be looking at John, the prophet, that prophet, John. Yeah, you know, the one who we call John the Baptist, John the prophet. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we established also that water baptism is not an Old Testament practice. What does that mean? In as much as water was used for cleansing, purification, healing, and things like that, yeah, John was the major person that attached, or it was through John that it was attached to as baptism. We saw cleansing with water as a practice, washing was a practice with water and things like that. Yeah, the only person that can really bail us out, you know, would be the person that has to do with, or the person that baptism was associated with, and what Jesus said. No single prophecy about John spoke about him in reference to water baptism. No single prophecy from the prophets. Hallelujah. Yeah, so John, yeah, John was a prophet who baptized. John was a prophet who baptized. What was the vision of John? Look at Matthew 3. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Look at Matthew chapter 3 verse 1. Matthew 3 verse 1. Matthew 3 verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching. You see that? He was preaching. Look at verse 3. For this is he that was spoken. Who is the he? John the Baptist. What was spoken about him by prophet Isaiah? What does he say? He says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So, who was John? What was the prophet say about John? It was about a preaching, a showing. We looked at Luke chapter 1. You know, we saw that all the prophecies about John the Baptist, nothing had to do with water. Nothing had to do with water. Nothing had to do with water. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we looked at that in our previous teachings, and we'll just take it a step further today. You know, so we've seen that John, look at John 1:23, for instance. Look at John 1 verse 23. Look at John 1:23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. We saw from Isaiah chapter 40 that the prophecy ahead of time for, concerning John was to show, right, was to show Christ, was to reveal, was to show Christ. Hallelujah. So today we'll quickly look at John in Jesus' commentary on John the Baptist and look at John the Baptist's ministry again, you know, properly in context. Look at Acts. Turn with me to Acts, the book of Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 1. Let's see what Jesus said about John the Baptist. Post-resurrection, what he said concerning John the Baptist after resurrection. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Verse 4. Look at verse 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, remember verse 3 already told us that Jesus showed himself alive, yeah, through proof from scriptures, being seen of them for 40 days. So Jesus showed himself or proved his resurrection from scriptures for 40 days. So Jesus had a 40-day seminar. What was he doing during 40-day seminar? He wasn't playing basketball. He didn't invite them to play basketball and play table tennis and play Ludo or chess or draft. Yeah, he was speaking. Yeah, he was speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Why do you suppose he was speaking and he was teaching? It is because the instruction he gave them is that go and make people disciples. A discipler must be a student, a proper student that is well taught. So he had the responsibility to teach the disciples so that they can teach properly. So what did he do? He used 40 days to teach them. Look at verse 4 now. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. What is the promise of the Father? Look at verse 5. For John truly baptized with water. Did John baptize with water? Yes. Did Jesus acknowledge that? Yes. Did John use water for his baptism? Yes. Remember from our last teaching, we established that John had two types of baptism. There was a baptism of repentance and baptism with water. Hallelujah. Yeah, there was one that had to do with water and one that had to do with words. Now, that's why we're trying to examine John. Look at verse 5 again. Jesus said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You see, so there is a baptism of water, baptism with water, and baptism with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So, Jesus wasn't saying, continue what John was doing, and you will receive the Holy Ghost. So, Jesus wasn't asking for water baptism and Holy Ghost baptism to be walking side by side. Hallelujah. In fact, go back to Matthew 3. Go back to Matthew 3. You see, John and Jesus will bail us out in that doctrine of water baptism. Yeah, go back to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Look at what John says. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. So the water is an unto. The water, there is an unto to the water. Look at it again. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Unto repentance. See, water doesn't change your heart. Water doesn't change your spirit. Yeah, physical water does not affect your heart. Yeah, physical water cannot make your heart clean, cannot make your spirit clean, cannot renew your spirit. So water will be figurative for what? Something else. So John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Jesus wasn't asking for water and baptism to go side by side. Remember, never forget John's ministry. What was his ministry? We established in our last teaching to show Jesus. Let me say that again. The work of John or the ministry of John. So if John was to have a ministry, so you can say John International Ministry. If he was to have a vision statement, his vision statement would be what? To show Jesus. His work was to say, this is Christ. Hallelujah. So remember, nobody who prophesied his coming mentioned water. Nobody who prophesied about John mentioned water. Glory to God. So, why did Jesus go to Jordan? Jesus went to Jordan because Jesus knew what John's ministry was. Why did Jesus go to Jordan? Jesus knew about that John. He knew about John's ministry to be what? To show him as the Christ. Did Jesus go really to be baptized with water? Not really. Jesus went to John. So look at it this way. Look at it this way. Imagine I send you to go and meet someone in the US. Yeah, imagine I send you to go meet someone in the US. Yeah, and the person in the US is to maybe is to give you something. So imagine you go meet him in the US, and the way he is giving out that thing to other people is through maybe putting sand on the table. Yeah, what is more important? Is it what you have to collect or the sand? Yeah, or imagine if he hides that particular thing in the midst of dust or in sand. Yeah, so you are not going there for the sand. You are going there to collect what you have to collect. You are going there for a purpose. So why did Jesus go to Jordan? It wasn't to be baptized in water, not even to enter water at all. He knew John's ministry. John at the time was fulfilling ministry with water baptism. What was most so? Look at it this way. Can a man go into water and be baptized and come out and not be saved? Yes. Can a man go to John and listen to what John is saying about repentance and repent? Yes. Is it the water that made him repent? No. What John said is the most important. Hallelujah. So Jesus went to Jordan because Jesus knew what John's ministry was. What was his ministry? To show him. What was the vision statement of John's ministry? To show Christ. What was his mission statement? We can assume for what using water. So our attention should be on the showing, not the water. Hallelujah. You see, we're trying to examine John. You see, that same Matthew 3 that we are in, see verse 14. Look at Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. So Jesus came to Jordan unto John. That is, what does it mean? Jesus came to John in Jordan to be baptized of him. Follow attentively. Look at verse 14. But John forbid him. So John knew that his ministry was to show, not to baptize Jesus. Why? Because the greater baptizes the less. Let me say it this way. The less is blessed by the greater. Look at it carefully. Look at it carefully. If there was something significant about his water, John would not forbid Jesus to be baptized. Look at verse 14. But John forbid Jesus, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. What is John saying? Even with his water, he says, I have need to be baptized of you. That means he acknowledges that Jesus is the greater. Look at what he says again, verse 14. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Why comest thou to me? Why are you coming to me? So John knew better. Look at verse 15. He said, and Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer it to be so now. What does that word there, suffer, mean? He says, allow it to be so now. Let it be. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So look at it carefully. A way to now read verse 15 properly will be, and Jesus answered to John, saying, allow it to be so for now. For thus it becometh us, so we are to allow or we are to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. What does that mean? Jesus now allowed him. Look at verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened. Yet the heavens were opened. And he went up straight out of the water, and the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. Remember, we established the use of figures of speech in series 1 and series 2 before series 3. So look at the way it says. He says, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit descending like a dove. The Spirit of God is not a dove. And so it's like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Remember in our previous teaching, you know, in church, we've established that how John was able to hear that voice, beloved, this is my beloved son. It was from the utterance that Jesus was giving. You know, the narrative of Luke concerning this encounter shows that Jesus was talking. He was praying. So Jesus was giving an utterance. Hallelujah, because Jesus and God are really the same. Jesus is God that was in front of John. So how did John hear God? John heard God by hearing Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, John heard God by hearing Jesus. How did John know this is my beloved son? Where did he hear it from? In fact, go to Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Look at Luke 20. So Luke gives us a narrative that was not really added in Matthew's gospel. Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Look at Luke 3, verse 21. Look how it says, now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized, what was he doing? And praying. Jesus was also being baptized and praying, and the heavens was open. So, what does heavens open means? Heavens open means that there was a knowledge or there was a saying from God. How did John know the saying from God? He heard it from the words that Jesus uttered. Look at verse 22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove. Look at this carefully. There was no dove that was seen by John. John did not see any dove at all. Yeah, so what was he doing? So if I say jump like a frog, I'm not saying you are a frog. Jump like a frog. So what is it? What was he trying to narrate? The narrative John was giving about that encounter was that it was as peaceful as you can see of a dove. Hallelujah. Yeah, so he has to say that narrative. So there was no bodily shape of any dove. There was no bodily shape of any figure that descended upon God, because that was God in front of John. So, and a voice came from heaven. Where did the voice come from? And also being baptized and praying. Verse 21. The heavens were opened. So, what did the voice say? So, that means Jesus' utterances was saying, thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased. Simple. That's what you see that thing we call tongues and interpretation. Yeah, what you call utterance. What is utterance? Is God speaking through the mouth and through the mouth of prophets. Yeah, Jesus, the great prophet, being God, was speaking on behalf of God as God. Glory to God. So, Jesus did not go to John's baptism to be endorsed by John. Jesus went to endorse John's ministry. Simple. Prophecies before time came concerning John. Prophecies before time came concerning Jesus. Who is greater, John or Jesus? It clearly has to be Jesus. In fact, go to Malachi 3. You see, go to Malachi 3. Yeah, remember Malachi 3 is where you say, if you don't pay your tithe, if you open your tithe, I will open the floodgate of heaven, you rob God, all those things be saved. We just read scriptures out of context. Devorah will not come near you. You see, there's nothing like if you pay your tithe, Devorah will not come near you. Yeah, if you give God 10%, the remaining 90% will be protected. It's a lie, it's a scam, it's a lie. You are to give any percentage you want to give liberally, freely. Yeah, even 10% might even be too small for a saint to give, but he is to give liberally as an end to himself. There are people who give God their 10% in quotes, and they use the remaining 90% for their health. Yeah, so it's a delusive statement, actually, or a standpoint. Yeah, but in fact, that's not the point. Look at Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me and the Lord. That is the Lord. Whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom he delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. Who is that messenger he will send to prepare the way? That's John the Baptist. So there was a messenger that was sent ahead of the message himself. I said that carefully. Yeah, there was a messenger that was sent ahead to prepare the way for the message himself. Who is the message himself? That's Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the Word of God, the exegesis of God. Hallelujah. So, Jesus and John, who is greater? Jesus is greater. John is not as great, is not greater than Jesus. Jesus is greater. John was to show a path or to show and prepare a way for Jesus. So, Jesus is greater. Jesus went to endorse what John was saying, not what John was doing. Hallelujah. So, did Jesus go and meet John? Yes. Was it to endorse his water baptism? Look at it this way. The preparation, the prophecy for John was that he will reveal Christ. That is, he will show Christ. It means that if John had decided to use water, it was his choice. If John also decided to do it in the midst of fire, it was his choice. Let's assume John was using fire to give people scars. It was John's choice to choose what he wanted his ministry, or rather, what he wanted people to know him for. So, John, the prophecy that went ahead of John was only about his saying, not his doing. How he will do it was dependent on John. Now, remember in our previous teaching, we said the power of God in a believer is dependent. The believer determines how he wants to use the power in him. Let me say it this way. A man full of power can determine how he wants to use the power within him, or use power in general. What does that mean? That's why you see Jesus use spit and sand. That's why you see Jesus or Paul use aprons and handkerchiefs, the apostles. That's why you see Elijah in our last teaching ask Naaman to go dip himself in water. You see, you can decide to take Tom Tom and lick it and give it to a sick man that has cancer and he will get healed. There is no doctrine with the tom-tom. You see, what we do is that we begin to build a doctrine with the tom-tom, not with the power. We are to build doctrine with what made that man heal, not the tom-tom. So let's say the tom-tom is like water baptism. Yeah, the power is what John is to reveal. So we are building a nest around tom-tom. Remember, I see people buy a lot of olive oil. Yeah, can you heal without olive oil? Yes. Can you heal with olive oil? Yes. Yeah, in fact, we saw in our previous teaching, the disciples were asked not to go with anything. Yet they went with olive oil and they healed with olive oil and not in oil. Yet they disobeyed their instruction. Don't go with anything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So John's baptism didn't make Jesus anything. Because even John himself said, greater is he. Yeah, so John himself said what? He that is coming will baptize. He is greater than I. So Jesus went to endorse what John was saying, not what John was doing. So look at that. Go back to Matthew chapter 3. Look at Matthew 3 again, verse 13. Look at verse 15. Sorry. And Jesus, Matthew 3, 15. And Jesus answering, he said unto him, allow it to be so. What is allowed? That is, allow it that I am baptized in water by you. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. What does fulfill all righteousness mean? It will mean to fulfill the words of the prophets. What were the words of the prophets? John the Baptist was to show, not to baptize with water. John the Baptist was to show who will baptize with the Holy Ghost. However, John the Baptist uses water to show as a significant or figurative for what the Holy Spirit will really be or really mean. Remember, prophecies in Ezekiel, we saw that in our last teaching. Yeah, I will sprinkle you clean water. Yeah, and I will give you a new heart. That is, and I will put my spirit within you. That is the real sprinkling of water. Sprinkling of water doesn't make anyone clean or saved. So look at verse 16 again. For it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered it. Glory to God. So John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Hear him. Look at John. Go to John 1. People were coming to meet John. What were they really doing? We saw in our last teaching that they were confessing their sins. Okay, look at it again. Look at John 1, 24. It says, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ? So they were asking John, why are you baptizing when you are not Christ? You are not Elijah. Neither that prophet. Look at what John said in verse 24. John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one amongst you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me. Oh, glory to God. Look at it again. He is he who coming after me is preferred before me. Look at it again. Yeah. Before John's baptism, there was a greater. That was Christ. Inasmuch as Christ came after, he was still the message. Look at it again. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. Look at verse 29. The next day, John seeing Jesus coming unto him and said, behold. Can you see? At this time, where he said, behold the Lamb of God, that is John fulfilling ministry. Why? Because all prophets said, he shall go prepare a way. He shall go. He shall say. He shall preach. So, behold, the Lamb of God, look at what it says, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me. Can you see? Jesus existed. Jesus is God. Look at verse 31. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, and the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Hallelujah. So, look at verse 31. It was to reveal to Israel. That was John's assignment. So, John is clear about the distinction between himself and Jesus. They are not on the same level. It will mean that the activity of John and the activity of Jesus, they are not on the same level. Look at what I'm saying. The activity of John, which is water baptism, and the activity of Jesus, which is the giving of the Spirit by resurrection, they are not on the same level. Ideally, John's ministry ended with Jesus when Jesus was shown. Let me say it this way. John's ministry, his purpose was to prepare and show Christ. It would mean that the moment he showed Christ, yeah, it would mean that his ministry was what? At the end, his purpose had ended. They had come to an end. He had done what the prophet, all the prophets, what the scripture had said concerning him. That's what? Fulfilling all righteousness. That means he had fulfilled all righteousness. He had fulfilled purpose. What prophecy? The prophecies that had gone before him. Remember, they were prophecies of showing, not water. The prophecies that went before John was born, they were prophecies about him showing the Christ, not baptizing the Christ. However, Jesus submitted himself to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. What would be the righteousness Jesus was trying to fulfill? It would be about the showing, not the action. Did Jesus ask anyone to baptize with water? That's why we're doing this study. We would realize that baptism of water ought to have stopped when Jesus was revealed. Simple. Because John was the one given the assignment to reveal Christ. The method he was using was water. He was trying to use water. Yeah, so you can say it this way. You can say water was like a point of attraction for John. Remember, the only reason why people were plenty when Jesus was there was because John had a ministry. In the activity of John's ministry, he was using water. That water alone was a catchy thing to bring people to him. But remember, when they were coming to him in the water, what were they doing? They were confessing their sins. Water baptism, doing people inside water, doesn't change your heart, doesn't make a man a born again, doesn't give the man the Spirit of God. So, water baptism, the method John was using, was up until the time he was to show Christ. Now he has shown Christ, that method supposed to have ended with him. Why? Because it doesn't have any effect on the saints at all. Yeah, so all the grammar of, just like English, is an open show of the inward reality. All those grammar is just English. It doesn't show anything. The way to show your inward reality is by walking in love. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. You want people to know that you are indwelt of the Spirit, you walk in love. You walk in the Spirit, not going to a water. Yeah, it is unimportant. It is not important at all. We're doing a study. Yeah, remember, we don't establish doctrines outside the scriptures. Glory to God. Look at John chapter 3. Look at John chapter 3, verse 22. So, when you say, I'm doing water baptism to show what God has done inside me, no. Actually, John was doing it before what Jesus was going to do inside you. You see that? So, it was like, so imagine it like green, white, green. John, green, the first green, your Nigerian flag, the first green was John showing what the white will do. Now, the white has come, that is Jesus Christ himself. That work he has done, there's no point doing green, white, green. It is supposed to be green and white and full stop. Why? Because John was showing what Jesus will do. So, do you have the indwelling of the Spirit? There is no need putting yourself inside water. It's really a waste of time. It doesn't do anything to the saints. At all. Yeah, remember, we explained that scripture. Yeah, that scripture that says a man was born of water and the Spirit. We saw that born of water was figurative for the Spirit. Born of water, that is the Spirit. Glory to God. So, I'll say this way. You had better take a new convert and go and disciple him in doctrine, in the word, than to waste his time and your time putting him inside water. It's simple. Yet there is really nothing that water baptism does to anybody at all. I can't overemphasize that. There is nothing. It doesn't show anything. The best you did was to shower outside. Dear friends, you should shower in your bathroom. Simple. Yeah, put on your shower in your bathroom. Take your bucket, get your water and shower in your bathroom. So every saint does water baptism every morning. Simple. The one that a pastor uses and holds you and dip you inside water is just a waste of time. We see that from scriptures. Look at John 3:22. Yeah, so all the doctrine of before you come in workforce, before you become a member of the church, going in worker, if you say before you become a worker, you must go through doctrinal teachings and learn teachings. That's safer. But before you become a worker of God, a worker in church, you must be put inside water. That is a waste of time. Look at verse 21, verse 22 of John 3. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. If you read verse 22 alone, you would think that Jesus baptized. Follow attentively. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Carefully follow. And John also was baptizing. That alone makes it look like Jesus was baptizing. Let's see. Remember, we've done series 1 and 2 showing figures of speech. Look at it. Near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and they were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison at this time. Verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Follow attentively. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. What does that mean? The only thing that Jesus had to give was that gift of salvation. Yeah, that is the gift of the Spirit. Follow attentively. Yea, yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. Verse 29. He that had the bride is the bridegroom. The bride is the bridegroom rather, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiced greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore is fulfilled. Look at it though. He must increase, but I must decrease. Can you see that? It is that the baptism that Jesus came to offer is to be what? Of importance. Look at it carefully. Verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. She says it again. Verse 32. And what he had seen and heard, that he testified, and no man received his testimony. Verse 33. He that hath received his testimony hath said to his seal that God is true. Verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Verse 35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Not he that believeth on water baptism. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, read the Bible contextually. Go to chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Verse 2. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Remember that figure of speech? Metonymy, yeah, that figure of speech where you use one character to measure other people's character. You see, that is why we've been saying series 2 would help us in series 3. Yeah, so when they say Jesus was baptizing, who was baptizing? His disciples. Look at it again, verse 2. Though Jesus himself baptized no one but his disciples, but they called Jesus as the one baptizing because he was the head of the people that were baptizing. Simple. Hallelujah. So you realize that from chapter 3, from verse 34, John's message itself changed. John's message changed. No, let me say it this way. John's message, even though it was the same, it started coming out clearer. Look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. What is he saying? He was to show the one who will give eternal life, and he that believes on the Son will have eternal life. So look at verse 4 again, chapter 4 again. Verse 2, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. So if you read chapter 3 and verse 22 and end there, you would think Jesus baptized. It's the same thing with oil. There's a disclaimer as to the activity of Jesus and his disciples. They said Jesus was baptizing, but in the real sense, Jesus did not use water to baptize anyone. Jesus told the disciples, don't go with oil. His disciples used oil. He gave them power, but they went with oil. We saw that in Mark 6, 7. So, now, let's examine. Why didn't Jesus baptize with water? It's simple. Because John already said that he will baptize with the Holy Ghost. There was no prophecy about John or Jesus baptizing with water. Let me say it this way. Yeah, you understand it this way now. Were there prophecies that said Jesus and John will baptize with water? Yes. What baptism of water was John to do? It was baptism about preaching to show Jesus Christ. What baptism of water was Jesus to do? It was baptism of the Spirit. John 3. Go back to that John 3. Look at John 3. You see, Jesus had already given a narrative about born of water and spirit. Look at John 3, verse 5. Look at John 3, verse 5. Verily, verily, Jesus answered and said, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the king, enter the kingdom of God. So John knew, Nicodemus that asked that question, knew that for someone to be born, you needed a higher power. What does it mean to be born of water? Look at that word there. And it means that is, which is. So except a man be born of water, that is the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's not saying that if you don't know water baptism, you will not make heaven. The saint began his journey from heaven. Yeah, the saint doesn't walk towards making heaven. The saint walks because he has made heaven. The starting point of a saint, it starts out in heaven. Heaven on earth, heaven in the believer. The saint is indwelt of heaven. Heaven dwells in the saints. What is heaven? Heaven is that spiritual reality that is not seen physically. Glory to God. Heaven is not your sky above you. That is the sky. In as much as Moses, he started the narrative of heaven and earth. You know, hallelujah. You know, we've done some teachings to that. So, did Jesus baptize anyone with water? No, we saw that from John 4:2. Did he ask anyone to baptize with water? No. But another interesting thing to actually look at is actually, did he stop anyone from being baptized with water? No. Glory to God. So we'll look at the book of Acts and see the apostles and how they baptized and whether or not they baptized with water. We'll see that. Now, but before then, look at Paul. Remember, we build doctrine from where? The epistles, the writings of the apostles. We build doctrine from the epistles. We don't build doctrine from the book of Acts because it was what? Physical activities of the early church. Look at 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 14. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 14. Look at what Paul says to the church in Corinth. I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, right? Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. Look at verse 16. And I baptized also this household of Stephanus. So he baptized three households. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize. A good way to read verse 17 would be, for Christ sent me to baptize with the Spirit and not baptize with water. In fact, he said it again. Look at it. For Christ sent me not to baptize with water, but to preach the gospel. What is preaching the gospel? The preaching the gospel will be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are we together? Are we together? Trust you're learning something. So, Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than ye all. To the same church, he said, I thank my God I didn't baptize more than the people he baptized. It means that when Paul now came into knowledge, he knew not to do water baptism again. What was he now doing? He kept on baptizing with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. So, he was grateful to God. Thank God though, I didn't baptize more than the people he did. It means that baptism is a negligible thing. Has no importance. What is negligible? Something that has no importance. So, a man can do without it. Think about it this way. Let me ask you a question. Which of them can man do without? Baptism of water, baptism of the Spirit. Look at it this way. If you get a man saved, right, and put him inside water or not, is he saved forever? Yes. Whether you put him in water or not, he is saved forever. But if you get a man and put him inside water, is he saved? No, until he preach or until the gospel is preached to him and he hears. So a man can do without water baptism, a saint. So we don't pressure people into putting them into water. Putting people into water is a waste of time, energy, strength. The fuel you use to go to the river, just use that energy to what? Indoctrinate people into the gospel. So when someone says, the Spirit of God told me that I should baptize all of you, you are on your own. You like water, it's fine. You like H2O, it's fine. If you're a chemistry student, it's fine. You like water, it's fine. Yeah, you are looking for opportunity to go for swimming lessons. It's fine. Glory to God. The work of redemption, which is the work of the baptism of the Spirit, has replaced water baptism. So things and practices and ceremonies, they've been replaced by that activity. Glory to God. Glory to God. Remember, I was starting from Colossians chapter 2. Let no one judge you in this because they point to Christ. Yeah, now they are shadowed. They might have been shadows pointing to Christ. Practices, ceremonies, and all those things might have been shadows. But now that we have the real deal, dear saints, it doesn't make any sense to actually keep up with shadows. So we see John baptized with water, not Jesus. Jesus' disciples continue John's baptism. Is that true or not? Yes, we will see that from scriptures. I mean, John 3 and John 4 shows us because his disciples were baptizing, they attributed that activity to Jesus. So, who started baptism? John. Who started baptism? Jesus. Let's say it better. Who started water baptism? John. Who started baptism with the Holy Ghost? Jesus. Who started water baptism? John. With water. Right? What baptism did Jesus bring? Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism with the Holy Ghost. So, what was John? Why was John baptizing with water? It was to point us to what the work of the baptism of the Holy Ghost we do. Think about it this way. Yeah, remember Ezekiel that we read in our last teaching. Ezekiel said what? I will sprinkle water on you. Yeah, wash you clean and all of those things. We have scriptures in the Old Testament books that speak about washing. Did Jesus baptize with water? No, we said that. Did John do that? Yes. What was John doing? He was using that as a yardstick or like an avenue for him to show Christ. Now, you must also know, if you baptize people in water, does it offend God? Not really, because it's your body, it's your decision. The same way you can choose to eat bread, it's the same way you can choose to put yourself inside water. It's really the same thing. You're eating bread, does it affect God? Nope. Yeah, imagine. Yeah, so look at it. You know, people stay away from meat like pork. If you eat pork, does it offend God? No. Hallelujah. If you eat giraffe, does it offend God? Nope. Yeah. If you eat a lion, does it offend God? Nope. If you eat a snake, does it offend God? Nope. You choose what you want to eat by yourself. Yeah. Jesus even tells us, nothing from without a man entering into the man can defile a man. You see, the reason why we have disparity between different kind of animals we don't eat is because of the vague understanding we've had from Genesis. We grew up learning that Adam ate a fruit and that was what defiled him. So a lot of us don't want to eat some animals because they think your animal cannot defile you. Matthew 7:13 shows us. Yeah, Jesus told the disciples, are you also without understanding? Don't you know that there's nothing that you eat can defile you? Why? Because it goes to your stomach and to the toilet. See, if you eat snake today, it doesn't go to your heart. It goes to your stomach and you must go to the toilet. Simple. But why don't we eat snake? We don't eat snake because we think that there is something spiritual about snake. No, snake is an animal. Snake did not tempt Adam or Eve. Snake doesn't talk. Snake has never spoken. We've seen that in our previous teachings. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, turn with me to Hebrews 13. Go to Hebrews 13 quickly. Go to Hebrews chapter 13 quickly. Hebrews chapter 13. If you want to put inside water, that's fine. But you must know that there's nothing it does to you. Yeah, you know, there are some people that they enter into water and come out with pneumonia. You know, not everybody likes water. Not everybody likes to swim. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 13 verse 9. Look at Hebrews 13 verse 9. Look at verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at verse 9. But being not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. What would be the heart be established with grace? It would be that the heart should be established with doctrine. Look at it carefully. For it is a good thing that your heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. What does it mean? Meat, no matter the animal, doesn't profit anything. It doesn't add anything. The only thing meat can do is your okay. Glory to God. Yeah. So he says, do not be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. What with diverse and strange doctrines mean? It means diverse and strange interpretations. People's thoughts and opinion. Look at Colossians 2 verse 8. Colossians 2 verse 8, quickly. Colossians 2 verse 8. The same thing Hebrews 13, 9 is saying. Colossians 2, 8. Beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rumors of this world, and not of Christ. What are philosophies and vain deceit? They are diverse and strange doctrines, which are really interpretations of people's thoughts and opinions. You know, I love this scripture very well. Colossians 2 verse 8, NLT translation. Do not be carried around by empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. So look at it this way. The way the Bible is explained to you determines how you see God and how you appreciate Him. The way the Bible is explained to you, yeah, you see something? If you are not well taught to know that how you praise God is with your words, is going to be your heart and your saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your dancing doesn't praise God. Your dancing is just an expression of what... Your dancing can only be an expression of what you feel within you, which a lot of times actually distracts you from the focus of saying. Okay, yeah, you should lay your hands on that teaching. Praises through the lens of Christ is an 8-track teaching that would explain lots of things to you. Yeah, so your proper Bible explanation and interpretation helps you to see God the way you should see Him. Look at John 4:20. Look at the book of John chapter 4. Look at John chapter 4 verse 20. Look at John 4:20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. That was the woman that was saying unto Jesus, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Look at what Jesus said in verse 21. Jesus said unto him, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in the mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Verse 22. Ye worship ye know not what? We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. That's what Jesus and the woman replied. Look at verse. That was Jesus talking in verse 22. Ye worship ye know not what? We know not what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. We've done a teaching on that. Salvation is not of the Jew. Salvation is from the Jew. What is he saying? The man that will bring salvation will come from the Jewish lineage. He's not saying salvation. He's not saying that the Jew are saved. Paul tells us in Romans that he wishes and prays that the Jewish guys, the Israelites, can be saved. Yet he wishes that they are saved. Why? Because they establish their righteousness, not having in mind the righteousness of God. So when he says salvation is of the Jew, a good way to read that the salvation is from the Jewish lineage. The man that will bring salvation to mankind is coming from the Jewish lineage. Yeah, look at verse 23. He says, but the hour cometh and now is. What is he saying? A time is coming. You will not need to go to a place to worship the Father. That's what it says in verse 21. Yeah, there's a time that is coming. You will not need to go to a place to worship the Father. It's not saying that you don't need to gather among saints to worship the Father. He's saying you will not need to go to a place to worship the Father. Why did he say that? Because they usually did their worship strictly adhering to the fact that they needed to go to what? Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the woman was talking about the temples, sacrifices and offerings that are brought to the temple as an act of worship, yeah? That teaching will help you praise it through the lens of Christ. We explain what praise is and what worship is and how worship consistently has been the bringing of a sacrifice, an offering. Yeah, the offering that has been brought for us is Christ Jesus. Yeah, what is praise is to speak well about the offering that has been accepted by the saints, or rather in the hearts of men. Yeah, really, really one and the same. So look at verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Who is God the Father seeking? He is seeking. That word there, seek, is to desire. That same word you see, desire the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah, desire. The Father desired such to worship him. That is to say, God desires to make people true worshippers. Who are true worshippers? True worshippers are those who speak well of the true worship that has been accepted. Look at Philippians 3 verse 2. Look at Philippians 3 quickly. Philippians 3. Look at Philippians 3 verse 3. Look at Philippians 3 verse 3. Quickly, look at Philippians 3 verse 3. It says, for we are the circumcision. Who are the we they are speaking about? Look at verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. So he's speaking about my brethren. Who are brethren? Brethren are those that are brothers, who are brought from the same womb. So you are my brother, I'm your brother. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. So your understanding and explanation of God's word will determine your reference and what? The way you reference God. You see, we live in a generation right now where people praise God because they want him to do something. But you don't praise God to do. Your praises cannot move God. Your praises doesn't crown God. The work of Christ and the resurrection is what crowns God as God. Before then, he was God. He is still God. He will always be God. Either you do 27 million hours of praise, or you do 27 hours of worship, or worship from the throne of grace, or worship through the white throne, or the white throne of worship, or white, worship him in the sanctuary, anyhow you want to call it. Your worship doesn't do anything to God. Yeah, that's why your praises is a response. Yeah, in fact, let's go back to where we're coming from. Yeah, so now, it is important to note that the truth doesn't need validation. The truth in itself is self-validating. You know, it's my admonition to people that don't fight the truth. Don't fight the truth. Don't fight the truth. Don't fight the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. So the truth in itself, yeah, the truth is in itself is like a lion. Once you let go of that cage, it fights for itself. Glory to God. Yeah, see, it's a, see, when you say the truth of God's word, don't fight it. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. I realize that a lot of people actually fight people that stand for sound doctrine because they don't understand certain things, which is, well, accept, well, but well, truth, that you don't accept the truth doesn't make it a lie. Hallelujah. That you don't accept the truth doesn't make it a lie. Glory to God. So, now, what did Jesus do upon resurrection? Now we have been baptized. Remember Acts 1. Go back to Acts 1. Go back to Acts 1. Go back to Acts 1, 4. Verse 5, rather. Acts 1, 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. What baptism does Jesus have to offer? Not water baptism. The baptism that Jesus has to offer is the baptism of the Spirit, the giving of the Holy Ghost. Praise be to God. Glory to God. You see, when Jesus resurrected, people were not going about with the cross. Eh? People went about with the message. Look at Matthew. Go back to Matthew 28, where we started from. Go to Matthew 28, where we started from. Look at it again. Go ye therefore and carry the cross on your neck and teach all nations. No. Go ye therefore and put the cross on your head properly, on your neck, properly carved with Jesus on the cross. No. Dear saints, understand the message and leave the symbols. A lot of people that carry the cross on their neck don't know what the message is about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are to understand the message and do away with the symbols. Go back to Matthew 3. Water baptism. Is there a message there? It is really a symbol pointing to the message. Matthew 3:7. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, either you put rosary on your, is religious practice. Yeah, you know, some people, when they want to sleep, they put the Bible beside their pillow. Ask them what Psalm 23 says, they don't even know. Yeah, okay, well, let's assume a lot of them will know Psalm 23 and Psalm 91. You've not seen when they use Bible, when demon use Bible and beat somebody. Yeah, I'm just joking, basically. But, you know, the saint is in the word of God. Yeah, a lot of times we have our mind playing games on us, and we say people are beating us in our dreams. Yeah, glory to God. Yeah, Matthew 3:7. Yeah, you say, look at what it says, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come unto him to his baptism, he said unto them, O generations of vipers, that Matthew 3:7, who had warned ye to flee from the wrath to come? Why were they fleeing? Look at it. They saw John's baptism. Look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees saw John's water baptism. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 4. And the same John and his raiment had his raiment of camel's hair and little girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem, yeah, to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan. What does that mean? People from these different locations came unto John's baptism. Look at verse 6. And were baptized of him in Jordan. What were they doing? Confessing their sins. You see, they came to John's baptism to confess their sins. However, John was using water. Look at verse 6 again. They were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, what did he say? Oh, generations of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? It means that there was something they were running from. That's why they came to confess their sin. What did they come for? They came to confess their sin, not necessarily for water. Do you understand? The most important thing, look at it. In their minds, if they had gone there and they dipped themselves inside water and they didn't say or confess their sins, in their minds, they still felt like they were not delivered from the rot. What did they go there to do in verse 6? They went to confess their sins. Look at verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruit meat for repentance. Verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these days stones to raise up children unto Abraham. That is a figure of speech. We looked at that in our last teaching. Yeah, stones cannot praise. Stones don't praise God. That's a figure of speech. Yeah, look at verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Yeah, similar to John chapter 14 and John 15. And you are the branches, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who doesn't bear fruit, my father will, cut off. Yeah, that we've done a teaching on that. I mean, take away. Yeah, what does it mean? It means to prune. Yeah, so look at verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. What is the wrath to come that he spoke about in verse 7? Wrath to come will be unbelief in the Son of God. Go back to John 3. The same John that said that in Matthew 3 is the same John talking in John 3. He that believeth the Son had everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abided in him. So when he says Matthew 3 verse 11, verse 7, yeah, all generations of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? What is the wrath to come? It will be a recompensation for what? The state of man's heart, which is unbelief. So what was John's message? That Jesus the baptizer will baptize with the Holy Ghost and not with water. So John preached about Jesus that he will baptize with the Holy Ghost. We see that clearly. Now let's go to Acts 19. Let's try and draw the curtain somewhere around Acts 19, where we started, I think, 2 weeks ago, last week. Look at Acts 19. Did baptism continue? Yes. After Jesus resurrected, did baptism continue? Yes. Were they to continue baptism? No. Because they were symbols pointing to the great baptism of resurrection. Look at Acts 19. Look at Acts 19, we'll deal with this narrative just in our next teaching. I think we'll just continue from here. This is something very profound. Look at Acts 19. Look at Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. So Paul came to Ephesus and found some disciples. What did Paul say unto them in verse 2? Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Paul now says in verse 3, you've not heard about the Holy Ghost? And he said unto them in verse 3, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Look at what, and Paul now explains John's baptism. Look at John, Paul in Acts 19, verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of their Lord Jesus Christ. Carefully follow. In verse 4, when Paul highlights John's baptism, did he mention water? No. So you see that? You see what we said earlier on? There were two baptisms of John. Water baptism and baptism of repentance, or baptism unto repentance. Is that clear? I hope that is clear. So there is a message called John's baptism, and there is a practice called John's baptism. The practice of John's baptism is putting people into water. The message of John's baptism is what Paul explained in verse 4. What did he say? Verily I say unto you, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe. What was John really after? It was after a believing, so that they will be delivered from the wrath to come. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So John's baptism was an activity that was done. John's baptism was a teaching that was done. What was John's baptism as a teaching? It was baptism of repentance. What was John's baptism as a message? It was baptism of repentance. What was John's baptism as a practice? It was dipping people into water. Go to Acts 1. We'll come back to Acts 18 just soon. Go to Acts 1, verse 20. You see, when they wanted to pick, let's see, Acts 1, verse 16. Look at Acts 1:16. Men and brethren, the scriptures. Now, if you take note, no prophecy came ahead of time that John's name will be John. Yet, the first time we see that name, John, as being John as a prophecy, is when we see the mother and the father giving them names. We saw that in our last teaching on Wednesday. Look at it carefully. I just said that to help you in verse 16. Men and brethren, Peter said, this scripture must needs to be fulfilled. What is the scripture? Which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to him that took Jesus. Was there a prophecy that a disciple would betray Jesus? Yes. Did the prophecy say that Judas would betray Jesus? No. What did Judas do? Judas submitted himself to be used to fit into the prophecy. Hallelujah. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, yet Peter submitted himself to God's love, which is through Christ. And yet Peter was the man that was handling. What did Jesus tell Peter? If you love me, you feed my sheep. The same Peter that denied Jesus 3 times. When after resurrection, on the day of Pentecost, who explained tongues and interpretation? It was Peter. Who preached the gospel first? It was Peter. He won what 3,000 souls first. He denied Jesus. What did Judas do? Judas was the one that led the people to arrest Jesus. Now, let me say this, and I want this to stick with you. The people that wanted to arrest Jesus, oh glory to God. The people that wanted to arrest Jesus needed someone to show them who Jesus was in the midst of his disciples. Think about that. You know, anytime I read that portion of scriptures, it shakes me. It means that Jesus was not so different from his disciples, to the point that they knew that if they had come without somebody identifying Jesus, they might have arrested the wrong person. Think about that. They needed to pay a disciple, yeah, to be disloyal, to show them who Jesus was before they knew who Jesus was. You see, Jesus, the great savior of the world. John, the great prophet, who Jesus said none of the prophets before him are greater than him. They didn't have so much material things. Okay, yeah. So look at verse 17. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of his ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. The money they paid Judas. What did Judas do after Jesus was arrested? He went to kill himself. Judas did not have time to go and buy a land or a field. So what you see now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. That's the figure of speech we looked at, metonymy. Now they purchase. So what do they mean? It will mean that they used the money of Judas to buy a field, and they say it was one that bought it, but it wasn't alive to buy the field. Look at it again. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Look at verse 19. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called their proper tongue, Aseldama, that is to say, the field of blood. Now, where we are going to verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. What was written in the book of Psalms by David? It was written that, let the habitation of the one who will deny Jesus, let his habitation be desolate. Yeah, yeah, look at it. And let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. What is he saying? The bishopric, that is the fact that I was amongst the disciples, another man was to take it. Now, how were they to choose another man? Look at verse 21. Wherefore, of these men which have complained with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us. What does that mean? From the beginning, when Jesus started having disciples, there were particular men who might not have been counted as the 12, but they were following all through. Look at verse 21. Beginning from the baptism of John, unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. What does that mean? The one they were to choose to replace Judas's bishopric was one who was supposed to have been there when John the Baptist started the baptism stuff with Jesus and Jesus' resurrection. Glory to God. So, somebody who was present at John's baptism, that was present as John's baptism, that would mean John's baptism of his message and of his practice up until resurrection. Why? Because John's baptism of water as a practice was a pointer to the baptism of the resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, we'll continue from here in our next teaching. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word to you today. And I trust you've learned one or two things here and there. Every saint is called into ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. All things are of Christ, who has reconciled all things back to himself. He has given us a ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He had committed unto us the message of reconciliation. Now then, we as ambassadors of Christ, as though Christ did besiege you. Bye. Cheers. I love you all.